but I think that game time is supposed to start at 11, so if you run over.
Okay. Well, it's a blessing to be in camp. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. Some of you, maybe your first time here in camp, or you've went to other camps. And I've been to a couple camps over the years. And I would say some of you, and I think most people have reacted pretty well to the preaching. But unfortunately, I'd say a lot of camps say, man, it's not having some heart-searching preaching. Right. Nothing wrong with preaching on the will of God and all that stuff, amen. But too much preaching is preaching on generics, yeah. You know. And we need to get to the heart of the matter. And I trust that the Lord will do a work in our hearts and lives this week that will help us for time and eternity. I appreciate the good turnout this year. It's been such a blessing to have a good turnout at a camp such as this. So we thank the Lord for that. And I appreciate the Lord working in our hearts. Appreciate the preaching that we've heard. And the Lord been helping Brother Tim. And I was even this morning trying to spend some time with the Lord and pray for Brother Jason tonight. Amen. The Lord help him. Yes. We're not all the same. Amen. We're not going to all be the same. So we don't have to be all the same to be right with the Lord as far as in our mannerisms and our preaching. So I trust the Lord will help him tonight if the Lord allows us to be in service tonight together. Jesus may come back. Amen. Just in the next moment. This afternoon. And we may never get to have another service. But thank the Lord for the blessing to be here. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9. Some of our friends are going to be pulling out this afternoon, and they're going to be going to a memorial service, we'll call it, celebration. We can celebrate when people are saved by the grace of God because we've not lost them. We know where they're at. And this is a text that I've took at some funerals that I preached at. Tim, I was in meeting back in June, and dear brother that you know, he asked me to be involved in his funeral, which he's not a whole lot older than I am. And so that was a kind of an odd request. And I said, well, brother, you need to let somebody know or put that in writing if that's the Lord's will. We'd help you any way that we could. And I'm not asked to preach in many funerals because I preach a lot on hell. And everybody thinks they're Ken went off to the happy hunting ground. And if they're not saved, amen, there ain't no need to try to do anything to change their destiny because it's already sealed. Yes. Right. And I found out years ago in preaching in some of my family's funerals, amen, that didn't go over too well. And one time I even preached out of John 3:16 in the preceding verses. You thought they would have liked that, amen, but it didn't turn out too good either. But that ain't all it is, you know, just them verses incorporated in John 3:16. There's a lot involved around that. And but I tell you what, I sure thank the Lord. The Lord gives us opportunity to stand and represent the Lord in our local church. This is a familiar passage of scripture that you've heard probably preached on by your pastor if you're faithful to your church. And I want to preach about, I'm not trying to be morbid, but I want to preach about death. Because it doesn't matter how old you are, one day you're going to face that. That's going to be a reality in your life. And you need to be prepared for it. And there's only one way that you can get prepared for that and face it with assurance and know that you have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or it's going to be a bad, bad time for you for all eternity. Let's stand if we can, if you're physically able to do so. And we'll look here in Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27. The Bible says here, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Verse 28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto him that looked for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, to preach the word of God today for these few minutes. Lord, I pray that, Lord, your word would be exalted, your name would be uplifted, and Lord, you would be glorified through what's said and done. Lord, I'm not foolish enough to think that, Lord, I could say some things that would be in my own flesh and grieve the Holy Spirit. I've experienced that many times preaching. And Lord, I want to say something, Lord, that's not led of you. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be very sensitive to what you would have to be said today. Lord, I pray that the word of God would find fertile soil in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls today. Lord, I know that, Lord, if Brother Tim and I was to supposedly report to somebody, as far as up to Wednesday morning, we wouldn't have much to report. In fact, Lord, there's not been a lot of people on the altar. There's been no professions, but the word of God has been preached and the Spirit of God has been evident. And Lord, that'll make a difference. So Lord, I pray as people muse in their mind about these things, I pray that, Lord, the Holy Spirit would convict them and draw people to Jesus. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Many of you know, especially that you from Altman know, that I drove truck for about 26 years. And that's not a long time, but that's longer than most people ever drove truck. Amen. And my life, Brother Abraham, was filled with appointments. I had appointments all the time. Sometimes those were appointment windows. The last few years of driving truck, I delivered to Lowe's up in Kentucky and Virginia and various places around the area. And I would have appointment windows from 6 to 10. And a lot of times I left early in the morning. Most of the appointments that I made, to beat traffic going around Lexington, Kentucky, Brother Joe, I would leave, amen, at 2 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes I would get to some of the places before my appointment window, and I'd lay in the bunk until I'd hear them shaking the trailer, amen, to wake me up to unload me there at Lowe's home improvement stores. There was times, amen, that I could not do anything about it, that I was late. I would throw a water pump, I would break a bell, and I would have a flat. One time one morning, if you wasn't careful, when the freezing cold, amen, if you run through rain the day before and then the temperature dropped at night, it would freeze the brakes and they'd be freezed on the drums. And I didn't even know it, amen. I was dragging the trailer tires, amen. And I literally burst the tires, amen. They drug until they just burst. And so I was held up. That was stuff that I couldn't do anything about. I'm a very, not that I've got great character, but I'm a very meticulous person. And I like to be on time. Listen, when church, amen, starts at 10, or we start at 9:45 at our church, listen, I think you ought to be there, at least in my mindset. And listen, sometimes I push my wife too hard, and I admit that. But I think you ought to be there at 9:20. Amen. That's just how I am. Amen. We try. Amen. Listen, we're not trying to push the envelope, but listen, friend, we thank God to be at the house of God. Amen. And be prepared. Amen. They call it preparing to worship. Amen. I think I'll be there early so you can prepare and get up early and spend time with the Lord. Amen. But there's times I couldn't do nothing about it. Amen. And listen, friend, you were late. One time I remember raising kids, amen, you don't have to read somebody else's illustration book when you raise kids, amen. You have your own illustrations. And we were on our way to church, amen, and you know how kids are. Sometimes we had drove 30-some minutes to the meeting I was preaching in, and somebody had a mishap, we'll call it that. It was an accident, okay. We had to go all the way back to the motel where we were staying, clean up all that, amen. And we got there. By the time we got there, Brother Tim, a good friend of mine, Brother David Wells, had preached a tremendous message, and people were shouting, amen. We got there in time, amen. They were shouting and praising the Lord. Listen, it's hard to get in on a meeting like that, amen. And listen, we was like, what happened, amen? But we did get to eat, and that was special. Amen. Free food's important when you have a family, and could you say amen there, Brother Dan? Amen. That's real important. And so listen, there was times that we couldn't do anything about that, and sometimes even your children stymied that a little bit, amen. I'm going to tell you, appointments you'll never be late for.
That's right.
And that's death.
That's right.
One day, somewhere out there, whether you little kids know it or not, or realize or not, Brother Rocco, there is an appointment out there, somewhere that said, Josiah, that you're never going to be late for. And God has an appointed time. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. There's an appointment out there, sir, that you're going to face, and you're not going to be late for it. And it doesn't matter what happens, amen, you're going to be right on time. Now, the thing of it is, I knew when those appointment windows were with Loves, from 6 to 10, or 10 to 2. But you don't know when your appointment window is. Brother Ford, one day, each of us, amen, are going to face that appointment with death. Are you prepared for that appointment? Are you ready to face the Lord? Now let me say this. The crux of the message, no doubt, will be about salvation. But what about us that are saved? There's some of you that I may not know your heart, but as far as I can know, humanistically speaking, I have confidence that you know the Lord. I don't know your heart. How about us that are saved by the grace of God and are going to face God one day at the judgment seat pretty soon after the rapture of the church? How's our service for the Lord? How about it? Are we haphazard in our service for the Lord? Are we kind of slipshod? Are we kind of slacking? How's your witnessing? How's your prayer time?
Right.
A good place to get carnal, even though this is the most wonderful camp I know, amen. Well, I have to say that because I'm preaching it, amen. This is the most wonderful camp that I know about, amen. But a wonderful time to get slipshod in your spiritual life is during this camp.
Yes.
There's so much going on, amen. I kind of got frustrated the other day. David wants to go swimming. He wants to put on his swimmies, amen. His inflatables on his arms. And get his little paws and tails too, whatever that is, amen. Put his tube on, amen. And jump in the pool. David, you love to swim. Can you say amen? But listen, I only like to stay in for 30 minutes. And then taking a shower. And he needs a nap, and I need to spend time with the Lord, amen, because I've got a schedule that I keep, amen. And I need to spend some time with God. But if we're not careful in all the frivolity and fun, you'll lose sight of your spiritual well-being this week.
Yeah, amen.
Do you spend any time in prayer? You daddies spend any time in prayer? Does your wife and your children know that you are a person that spends time in prayer and anchors your family in prayer? And soon after, we're called out of this thing. We're going to get an account of our spiritual well-being. He said, I will that ye be in health even as thy soul prosper. Brother, you can tell, amen, I'm not very physically fit, amen. It looks like I got paws and tails staying around my middle all the time, amen. No rubber ring, amen. Amen, Brother Joe, don't you smile at me, amen, hallelujah. You ain't what you used to be when you come back from overseas and stuff like that. We're about in the same shape. But I'm going to tell you one thing, amen. Hey, I just think it's more important. And listen, we ought to get in shape more physically than we are. But it's more important to have your soul fed and your soul be fit than even have some muscle.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I believe we've got some people in here this morning, amen, that spend time with the Lord. Yes. And though the outward man is perishing, amen, that inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. And listen, it's very, listen, if you want a hero, you ought to look to some of your pastor, some of these men of God, amen, that spend time, Brother Jason, with the Lord. And that ought to be somebody that you migrate to.
That's it.
Amen.
Yes.
We're going to spend time dealing with this passage of Scripture, but let me challenge you that are saved by the grace of God. Are you going to be ashamed when you preach there's all kinds of things come through your mind? You got to discern what of the Lord. I don't want to be ashamed that He's coming.
That's it.
I don't want to be ashamed that He's coming. Let me say this and just hit it and run. Amen. You know, wouldn't it be a shame at the Lord's coming, amen, for God to catch you inappropriately dressed and be saved? What if the Lord raptured everybody out and everybody showed up, amen? I'm talking about immodest apparel. Everybody showed up in heaven like they're dressed, so-called Christians. Now, thank God He's going to clothe us all in white robes, and there's people that need some robes.
Amen.
One thing about roads, it doesn't matter how long you think the length is, they cut.
Amen.
Amen. There ain't going to be nobody up there in a halter top.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, wouldn't it be a shame? Why don't you let the Lord work in your heart this week? And probably some of you never hear that ever dealt with in your church about inappropriate dress and immodest dress. Amen. Let the Lord work on you. I don't want to be ashamed at His coming when I give an account of what I've done after that I've been saved.
Sure. Amen.
Amen. But I want to deal with the help of the Lord, amen, at this subject of death. And all of us, amen, are going to face that one day. Every one of us. Somebody said there's two things that are sure, and that's death and taxes. But I'll tell you what's more sure than taxes around April of the year, it's death. Every one of us is going to face death. Number one, it is a sure event. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. Every one of us. Now, Josiah, you're probably not thinking much about death except this message and the theme of this message. But you're 10 years old and you're not thinking much about death right now. You think that you've got a whole life to live and enjoy time with your daddy and go turkey hunting and hear dad call turkeys. Some of my kids say, I run more turkeys off than I call in, amen. But there's been several of them. The last thing they heard was my yelps, amen. Before they went to the happy hunting grounds, amen. But I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. You listen to me, Josiah, and I hope one day God will pierce your heart with the gospel. One day you're going to face death. Because it didn't take me long to get to be 53 years old. David, it didn't take me long. Listen, I had a 6-year-old birthday. Listen to me, David. Look here. Just like you turned 6 the other day, that just seems like a moment in time. And the Bible says
Our life is just like a vapor that appeareth for a little time.
Yes, sir.
And then vanisheth away. Just a vapor.
And you think about that in the winter time, and you're outside in the cold in Pennsylvania, and you're out there on a deer stand. That's things I can relate to anyway. But you're out there on that deer stand, Miss Trench, and you listen, you're out there waiting on that big buck to come, and you're breathing, and you see that breath that comes, and then it's gone. Mom used to sit on a tea kettle, amen, and the little tea kettle would be perking on the stove, amen, and that little jet of steam would be coming out of that tea kettle. It's there and it's gone. That's just what our life is like. It's just a vapor. Young people, it's just a vapor, amen. That's all it is.
Yes.
And you think you've got all the time in the world, amen, to do business with God, and that's not the truth. Our life is like a shadow, according to 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 15. Our life is like a flying shuttle, amen, according to Job chapter 7 and verse number 6. That little piece, amen, when they weave those calls, if they take the shuttle and they throw it through, amen. And I mean, it just fly by, amen. And listen, brother, I don't know how old you are. I assume I'm older than you, Brother Jason. But I'm going to tell you, it just seemed like the other day that I was just a young man graduating from high school, graduating from Bible school, getting married, amen, several years later. And now it's been 22 years down the road of marriage, and it's been a blessing, but it didn't take long to get this old. And if I live the average lifespan, I might possibly have 20 years or less.
Yes, sir.
And when you think about it, if I just live to be 70, my dad's 78. If I live to be 78, that's not that many years.
All right.
That I've got left. And I'm sure many of your grandpas and grandmas, the older precious people in this congregation could tell you, it just seems like a wisp of time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And it's gone. Flying shuttle. The Bible says our life is like a hand's breadth in extent, according to Psalm 39 and verse number 5. We mentioned in James 4 and verse number 13 and 14, it's like a vanishing vapor. The Bible says, 1 Peter 1:24, it's like the withering grass. Our life is so very fragile. And you say, well, I've got a long time to live. Amen. You know, something could burst in your head. An aneurysm could burst in your head and you'd be dead before you hit the ground.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You say, Brother Rose, are you trying to scare us? No, I'm trying to get you to see the reality. All of us are going to face death, and you don't know when the appointment is.
Right.
If we go to a very large graveyard around here, we'd find somebody, probably if it was the graveyard was large enough, we'd find somebody close to your age in that graveyard.
Yes. Sure. Yeah. Oh, yes.
It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. That's why the Bible says, Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's why the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6:2, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. God's time is now. God's time is today. The devil always says, not now, tomorrow. You are not guaranteed tomorrow, even the next breath or second.
Amen.
The devil says put it off. God says today. The devil says not now. God says this is the accepted time. If God is wooing you and drawing you, amen, listen, you need to get right with God. And I'd like to see it again. I've seen it, listen, in my ministry. Listen, you wouldn't even get done preaching, and God be drawing sinners, and they come to an old-fashioned altar, or they get down between the pews and get right with God while you're preaching, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. We hardly ever see that anymore. I'm going to say this, we hardly preach enough on sin to get anybody under conviction anymore.
That's right. You're right, Richard.
The law's the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, and the law of God preached in its rightful order will show sinners they're under condemnation. Well, the whole world's lost, Brother Rose, and the whole world's under condemnation. Doesn't look like it. Looks like they're living it up. Looks like they're having a good time. Hey, Miss Kim, it looks like they're living like there's no tomorrow.
Right.
You're right.
I don't think some of the men I work with are thinking about death.
Sir.
And facing God. And facing eternity. And some of you are not thinking about it. But you are.
Yes, sir.
You are going to face God. And if you're not saved by the grace of God, amen, you're not going to go to a better place. Well, where did he go, amen? He's in the obituary. He went to a better place. That's why all you read in the obituary. He was a member of such and such Baptist church, and he went to his heavenly home. But if you're not saved, you're not going to heavenly home. You're going to bust hell wide open.
Right.
An appointment with death. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. In this day of materialism, amen. You say materialism when we're in a recession, amen. Somebody told me the other day they went to a restaurant. They have two children and dropped, what was it, 70 some dollars, amen. Doesn't sound like they're thinking they're in a recession. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you what, even if this is a recession, a lot of that stuff's, amen, man-made, broadcasted by the media. It, as bad as you think it is, we've got it pretty good.
Yeah.
We're driving the best cars we've ever drove. I never thought, Brother Asquith, I'd ever live in a brick home, a hick in a brick home. I never thought me and my family would move in a brick house, amen. Four bedrooms, one and a half bath, because the work shower, amen, backs up sometimes, and I don't want to be in there when you have a sewer eruption, amen. We destroy septic systems. Amen. I'm surprised it ain't backed up over at the trailer. Amen. We literally work septic systems over. Amen. But I'm telling you, we've got the best Sister Seahorn that we've ever had. And people have got, listen, making money on their mind and spending like there's no tomorrow. Amen. And listen, this man in Luke chapter 12, he didn't have death on his mind, only what he was going to accumulate. But God said, thou fool.
Amen.
Luke chapter 12, verse number 16. The Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Amen. I don't know what he was growing, amen. Maybe he's growing cayenne peppers. I love steamed, what do you call it, a hot bath, cayenne peppers. We invited Brother Peter down one time, and they set out the cayenne peppers with our pizza. I think they had pizza, and he started eating my cayenne peppers. I said, what's that all about? Amen. Put them back in the refrigerator. I mean, I just aggravated. I was hoping he'd burn him up.
kept eating them. Amen. I said, them was my caring peppers. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And listen, friend, hey, he might have been growing a field of big, juicy, ripe ox heart tomatoes. Amen. Oh, I love tomatoes. I've got diverticulitis, but you'll do strange things for stuff you love. Amen. Listen, I'll just, what's the word? Amen. I'll take a chance on having a diverticulitis attack and eat about 6 tomatoes. Amen. I love them. But he brought forth plenty. It may have been corn up here, amen. They still have fields of corn. Come to find out, amen, most of them. Listen, they used to sell it for making corn squeezings, amen. Now it's for ethanol. Yeah. But it used to be years ago they sold it to the liquor makers.
Yeah. Right.
Up around here.
Right.
Now a lot of it, they make more money selling it for ethanol.
Right.
Amen. But he may have had a bumper crop of corn. Whatever it was, his fields brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I don't even have room to lay up all my crops. I've got a surplus. And he said, this will I do. In verse number 18, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, he's talking to his own soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds like the attitude of America, amen. Eat, drink, and be merry. Take thine ease. Lovers of pleasure. Now we thank the Lord. For one, I remember another time that we had around 90 people at the camp years ago. My kids were all little kids then. My older girls. We thank the Lord for the good number at camp this year. But I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. People love pleasure more than they love God. You couldn't hardly fill up, Brother Tim, fill up a camp like this, especially if you knew they were preaching.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Everyone happy, 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 happy. Let's tell a good story. Let's have the preacher, amen, dress up like a crown, amen. Make everybody laugh. I'm going to tell you one thing. Thank God for you showing up. But most people are in America are interested in pleasure.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I noticed, and I know, and I'm not throwing off. This is not a shot at nobody, but I noticed it burdens my heart, Brother Jason, for you and Pastor Harvey, who's still the pastor here. And it burdens my heart because I remember what this used to say. This used to say. This used to say. But it ain't that they're, listen, I'm not throwing it off. It's not that they're just down watching the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Penguins or the Philadelphia Phillies or the Eagles. It's not just that. We've got over to the day and era, amen, where churches are places of entertainment.
Yeah.
And we don't want a church, amen, where the preacher will love your soul and love your children, amen. Listen, sometimes the preacher's led to the Lord to bless your hide.
Yes, right.
Sometimes he's led to bless your heart, but there's many times he's led to bust your hide.
Yes,
sir. Amen.
Yeah.
And it burdens my heart to see that when we was there Sunday. Because I remember where a bunch of families sit. I think the Payne family. I miss them. I miss the Ramsey. I still pray for him. I miss Brother John Wazowski. I still call his name in prayer. I didn't even know the Brons very well. I still call their name in prayer, meeting them, I don't know how many years ago, probably close to 30 years ago, I met them. And on I could go. And that's no skin off my nose that I still pray for them, amen. But I see where they used to be, where they used to sit. I went up to IUP one time with Brother John. We preached on the street up there at IUP. Amen. I wonder about these people. Where are they at now? I'm not saying they're all lost. I'm not saying they're lost. Amen. People can get their lives messed being saved. Are you listening to me? We're more interested in pleasure today.
Yeah.
Take thine ease.
Yeah.
So it's not hard today, amen, to go down the street to another church, amen. And guess what? Even if you are saved, amen, you can take your ease.
Yeah.
You can eat, drink, and be merry right in the house of God. Are you listening? What I'm trying to get across to you, we're going to face God one day.
Sure.
Yes.
Right.
With how we live, what we do with this Bible.
Yes.
And what we do with God's commandments and how we honor them.
That's it.
We're going to give account to God. Are you listening? It's hard for me to get off that. Are you getting that? And I know I can't get you right. Sister Four, I left off a long time ago trying to get people right. Because they straightened out when I preach to them. They straighten out for that week.
Uh-huh.
And when I leave, they do what they want to do anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Now, come on.
God's got to help folks.
Oh, yeah.
And God's got to save folks.
Amen.
And God's got to sanctify folks.
Yes, amen.
And by the way, He don't need my help.
Amen.
That's right.
He just said preach.
That's it.
Yes.
Amen. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose things shall they be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up for treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know what? You don't need a loan. You don't necessarily need if it's unless it's God's will. I've preached long, didn't I? Brother Tim, we ain't in competition with it. But I'm talking about an Altman Baptist church years ago. I remember, amen, preaching on into the afternoon at Altman Baptist church.
Yeah.
And me and Brother Jay, amen, was running around like NASCAR, amen, cars, amen, around Altman Baptist church, amen. And it was after 1:30 in the evening, amen.
Yeah.
And I'd started preaching hours ago, amen. So I'm not against long preaching. But I don't preach as long as I used to, amen, because usually I'm out of gas. Amen. But it don't take a long time if God sends a message to get a hold of your heart.
Right, amen.
And I try to be the confines. I try to stay to the confines of this morning chapter. Amen. But God sent you a message this morning.
Yes,
Lord.
When it comes down to death, here's the message in a nutshell. When it comes down to death, He's going to open His arms and you're going to meet Him. He said, welcome home.
Amen.
Welcome home, Saint God. When you die, are you going to hear Him say, thou fool? Thou fool. You say, what are you saying? Call people names. Nay, it is a foolish thing for people to say the gospel like some of you have said and heard the word of God and then go out into eternity lost.
That's right.
That is the height of foolery. Because you're trifling with your eternal soul, your eternal destiny. You see him, there's no chance and opportunity to ever change your destiny when you die.
That's right.
Nobody's going to pray you out. Nobody's going to be baptized for the dead and change it.
That's right.
Nobody's going to count the rosary or chop the coffers of the Roman Catholic Church, amen. It's all a fraud anyway.
Amen.
To pray you out of purgatory.
Right.
Yeah.
Now once you die, your destiny's sealed.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And you've got an appointment. I've got an old pocket watch. that was given to me. Now, I don't know, Brother John, I don't know what the person was saying. I was preaching in meetings, and young people were supposed to get right with God, and I believe some of them wanted to get right with God. Amen? And so somebody gave me a solid gold case, railroad watch. Now, they might have been saying you're preaching too long. I don't know. But I took it and said, thank you, man. I still got it. And it's solid gold case. So it's worth some money, several hundred dollars. And those old time pocket watches, I still get it out every now and then. I thought about it the other day, Brother Joe, I forgot about it, because I want to keep the works going. And I'll wind it, and you'll hear it. You don't really hear it unless God lets you know about it, amen. Your appointment's coming closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every one of us should lay your head in that word.
Yes.
And I'm a lot older than you. And you may think, not you, but you think Brother Rose is out of touch with reality. And Brother Tim, amen, preaching messages that have no relevance with all the young people this came. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Death is sure. Many times death is sudden. You better be prepared to meet the Lord. I'm done right on time.